Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
You know, I was thinking, it really is nice that even when we can't get together, we can still record episodes of the podcast over Zoom. You know, we can still see each other in these little boxes on our computer screens.
Yeah, it's like Face Dances Part 3.
Okay, Patrick, we have a patron episode here on Rockin' the Suburbs. Mike is a patron of the show, and from time to time he'll come on and he gets to pick the topic, and we love that. He always has interesting musical topics to discuss, and totally. What was it you'd like to talk about today, Mike?
Today, I would like to talk about Pete Townshend in the early 80s.
Okay, this is great.
I find this a really interesting topic. For just to give a little background, The Who were obviously this huge, massive band in the 70s and had, you know, toured stadiums and on and on. And then towards the end of the 70s, they kind of lumbered through. They had some movies. Obviously, Keith Moon passed in 78. They released Who Are You? And then they decided to get a new drummer. But at the same time, Pete started his solo career. And he released these two, which I think are completely different, but completely amazing albums. I love them both, and I come to find out that Patrick actually shares a love of All the Best Cowboys album mm-hmm. as well. And I just think this is a really interesting time for him because it seemed like he was trying to get The Who back to their glory days, but at the same time, he had his own solo stuff going on. And it's like The Who stuff suffered and compared to his solo material. And I thought we could talk about those four albums because yep. they're all completely different. They were released in this really short burst of time frame. And then he kind of went away for quite a while. So I just thought we'd talk about that. And we haven't really talked about, I know you had the Who episode, the Who week, countdown week, which was fantastic, but I don't think we've ever talked about Pete Townshend as a solo artist before, so I thought this would be a nice topic to go through.
Okay, so Mike, why don't you quickly run down what are the four albums? What were they in order?
Okay, so the first one that was released was Empty Glass in April of 1980,
mm-hmm.
and then
the solo album.
Now they yep. toured in 79 before that. And then Pete released the solo album, Empty Glass.
Mm-hmm.
Then The Who toured in around that same time. They started a tour at that same time. And then they toured in 81. And then they released Face Dances in 81 at the end of that tour.
Yep.
And then All the Best Cowboys Have Chinese Eyes was released in June of 1982.
That's another solo album.
And then
album.
It's Hard. Yeah. And then It's Hard was released just about 3 months later in September.
Okay.
So quite a burst there.
So I read Pete's autobiography several years ago, and correct me if I'm misremembering this, but I seem to recall that Roger wasn't too happy that Pete was even doing solo albums or thought maybe songs like Rough Boys could have been Who songs and might have been hits for them, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I think there was a lot of frustration from Roger because The Who is his life, right? I mean, that's his main, that's what he lives to do. And then, and then there are several really strong songs on Empty Glass. You know, Rough Boys being just a tour de force song, and you can really hear The Who could have done that. There's also had the hit "Let My Love Open the Door," which isn't really kind of a Who song,
and right?
The song Empty Glass, I think actually The Who did a version during the Who Are You sessions. And as well as Gonna Get You is a really great song as well.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So is that where you want to start? You guys want to talk a little bit about Empty Glass?
Yeah, let's talk about Empty Glass a little bit. Obviously, the opening song, Rough Boys, is an amazing, amazing song.
Thank you.
What are your thoughts on this album?
I mean, it's one of my favorite albums ever. Actually, I remember, you know, as a kid, I had this on cassette. I listened to it a ton. You know, I think I know it probably as well as probably any Who album, to be honest with you. I mean, yeah. I think it's a super strong record, and like you said, it's got two big hits, but it also has a lot of great deep cuts. You know, just tremendous songwriting, and I can see where Roger might be upset. Because it's like, hey, yeah. You're taking all the best material for yourself, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I think that's right. And to me, it's a culmination of a couple of different things. I mean, I think it's a culmination of Pete going a little farther into like personal turmoil and feeling like a little bit adrift, I think, you know, and also a reaction to punk, because there's a lot of pretty fast stuff, you know, on this record. Not that the Who wasn't a powerful band that played pretty fast at times, but, you know, it certainly can be called proto-punk in some ways. But, you know, of course, Rough Boys sets the tone with that, right? But there's a whole bunch of stuff, like, you know, Jules and Jim is an interesting one, too. And, you know, all kinds of stuff that's really, really interesting. And I guess to me, you know, and we'll probably, Mike will probably touch on this, but Townsend's solo career to me is one of the biggest disappointments probably of all the artists who I clearly followed. You know, I felt like with these two records, it was a time where he had, you know, like found this different voice. And of course that voice is always going to be rooted in the Who, right? But there's a personal element. Mm-hmm. And it happened a lot of times during the Who, there'd be songs that Roger felt were so personal that he couldn't sing them, right? And Pete ended up singing some of them. And, you know, there's a couple on Who by Numbers, and, you know, there's a few in other places too. But, you know, it felt like, especially with All the Best Cowboys, that suddenly, you know, he's finding this voice, this artistic direction, this great artist is going to take us in that direction. And like, kind of, as you said, Mike, it was like, these two came out, and then kind of after that, it was like, well, there's this White City thing, but is it a novel, or like, what is it, you know? And
right.
And the Psycho Derelict thing, and all this other stuff, you know, and the Deep End stuff. It never felt like he settled down, and I could see him doing stuff like this. I mean, I wished he had, where he took people that were influenced, likely, you know, by the Who, and could play in their style, and wrote songs like, you know, Rough Boys. I mean, A Little Is Enough is a great song too.
Oh,
Empty Glass is a great
song.
You know, there's a lot of really good songs that really, you know, could be, you know, you know, the building blocks for this amazing career. They could be, you know, his early breakthrough songs, like some of the stuff, you know, that he did with the Who Sellout. I just think, to me, when you look at it, it's like, wow, I wish he would have gone down that direction. And hindsight's 20/20, of course. You know, you didn't want him to do all the Who reunion stuff that was, you know, kind of bad and you know, all that. Although it's anytime those guys are together on stage playing those songs, it's not going to be bad. But just kind of, I don't know, the easy path more or less. So yeah, that's kind of, you know, what I think. But man, these two really are just such important Townsend works.
They are the level of personal writing. Like I said, I actually sat down and I sat with the lyrics and I listened to both these albums, reading the lyrics, which I hadn't done for years.
Mm-hmm.
And Empty Glass is incredibly, incredibly personal. I'm like, gosh, he's just so open. I mean, obviously, one of the elements that I think made him do the solo album was he was dealing with some. Obviously, there's a lot of sexual, his dealing with his sexuality in that record. And honestly, the material, I don't think it lends itself to the Who.
Right. I agree.
It just like, I can't hear the Who playing Let My Love Open the Door. I just can't hear that.
No,
but obviously, right. When Pete does it, it sounds incredible. And as great as a rocker as Rough Boys is, I can't hear the Who doing that. And the track that just blows me away, that I can't believe was not a monster hit, was Gonna Get You, because that song is a tour de force. And I would recommend to any listener just to sit down, put the headphones on and listen to it. I think if when I listen to it, there might have been some takes cut, but it sounds like it was one take. And there's four instruments. It's kind of like, I think of Go. You remember how Going Mobile was like this tour de force of just the three of them back in the day?
Well, yeah.
You know, you got a different drummer, different bass player, both great in a different way. And you add in a piano player who's a great piano player. And that song and Pete's guitar is just like, just holds it all together. I mean, the musicianship on these albums is just absolute top notch.
Totally agree, and I think what you guys are saying is absolutely right. There's a lot of personal songs I think Pete wanted to get out. I also think a lot of the songs lend themselves to his voice really well, right? And there's a real tenderness to his voice, or real vulnerability or fragility, right? That that you hear in his voice that you're never quite going to hear with Roger, as great a singer as he is and as expressive as he can be. It's a different instrument. But also, I think Pete was grappling with, like, you know, this point in his music career. Like, is The Who still a viable thing? It's, you know, partly because of Keith Moon's death, but also just because of, like, you alluded to it, Patrick, sort of the changing music scene, right? Like, they didn't, I don't think he wanted the group to be, you know, a nostalgia act. Right. Or he wanted them to still be vital, but he wasn't sure if they could still do that. Like, that doesn't really happen in rock and roll. And never, you got to remember too, at this point in time, rock and roll is only what, a little over 20 years old, 25 years old. Right. So, so it's like, there's no map, you know, there's no blueprint here. So anyway, so I think that's, you know, a lot of why he's got the one foot in each camp, the solo albums.
Right.
And then the Who albums as well. And trying to figure that out, where do they go? And also, I think too, your points about punk, you know, it was the reverberations were much greater in London than they were in the United States, right? So it's sort of like, are we going to be totally pushed aside by this new rock movement, right? And so he started hanging out with those guys like the Sex Pistols and stuff like that, and started to, you know, try to prove that, like, hey, I can do that kind of stuff too, you know, but in his own way, which made it so impactful, I think.
Well said. And, you know, the next thing you knew, he woke up in a Soho doorway.
So anyway, and I'll say one last thing too. I love these solo albums so much because they are just great collections of songs. I mean, to him, they might all make sense and connect in certain ways, and to the listener, you can have your own interpretation, what have you, but they're just like really good, strong albums, right? They're not trying to be a rock opera, a concept album, what have you.
No,
I think sometimes Townsend gets in his own way or becomes his own worst enemy because of the success of Tommy and Quadrophenia and Who's Next, you know, in a way, because that started off as a rock opera even though it didn't go that direction. He later on in the 80s and so on, he tried to go back to that, right? And like, I want to do more rock operas. Like, that's what I do, you know, I'm Pete Townsend. Yep. And it was like, they were just diminishing returns on that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just like,
I think that's exactly right.
Just put out an album, a great collection of songs. We love it, Pete. Do that, you know?
Right. That's right.
Anyway.
And then, so just to step through the other albums, and then The Who goes and records Face Dances,
which I think is a good album.
It's a good album, but it's not. It's fine. It's a fine album. I think the standout track on that album, though, is Another Tricky Day.
That one and Don't Let Go the Coat, I think, are probably the two for me. And
so they do Face Dances, and then there's sort of a layoff period there, a bit of time. Mm-hmm. I guess he was writing and putting together All the Best Cowboys album, which I don't know what it was. I mean, at that I was what 17 at the time when it came out. I don't know why it was, but I connected with that album straight away, even though I had no idea what he was talking about. It was beyond me at the time, but I loved it. And I know you loved it, Patrick. What is it about that album that you loved?
You know, very similar to you, Mike. I was right about the same age, and it was, you know, I was working at the record store. I mean, I think we got to hook something up to shock me every time I say that, but it's like... That was the time when I was really passionate and discovering The Who. And here was the first new thing that came along, you know, from this band. And it finally gave me a chance to participate, you know, in that new release, you know, kind of thing. And it turned out to be a Sounds and solo album. And later, It's Hard. And that was the first time I saw him in 82 on that It's Hard tour. They opened the U.S. tour at the Capitol Center that year. And I was able to see that. But... man, I don't know. I just listened to that album over and over, and it's got such a beautiful, to me, summation. And I'm so glad you mentioned the lyrics, Mike. Such a beautiful summation of all these things that Townsend was going through at the time: maturity, his legacy, addiction, ego, like all these things he's dealing with. And you know, like "The Sea Refuses No River" is like an incredible song to me. See that being the blueprint combined with what Jim said about, let's not make this, you know, a complicated rock opera. You know, I don't have to write all these linking parts and songs. Like, let's just write great songs. And that's what, you know, All the Best Cowboys is. I'll also say probably the best music, the best album with the worst title of all time may be a candidate, because All the Best Cowboys
it's
Have
terrible.
Chinese Eyes is really right. not a good title.
Right.
right? But, I mean, think about The Sea Refuses No River. It's an amazing song. The lyrics are incredible. That you know, as soon as this idea came up, that line, the sea refuses no river, but this river's banks are blown. That's kind of
yes,
what
yes.
Townsend is so, like you were saying, he's so full of everything that was happening. He's just, you know, it's like a flood. And yet he knows there'll be a, you know, a receptacle for all this somewhere down the line. And I think it's just a beautiful metaphor. And I love Stardom and Acting too. I mean, it's just such a
such a
ripping
great song.
Tune. Yeah. And such a cool, you know, kind of metaphor about his whole life. And it's interesting. I mean, I spent a lot of time staring at this cover. And like you said, it's got the lyrics printed on it, but it's got
right.
this little area here. And it's got a picture of him and a young lady. And it says, this album is dedicated to Meg and to other teenagers in love everywhere. So there's also that kind of, you know, his spirit of remembering kind of why he fell in love with music and fell in love in the first place too. So I wish he would have, you know, taken this album and built on it, but it's really kind of maybe, I don't know what you think, might be the last Townsend masterpiece that's out there.
Yes. I if someone told me that that album is pretentious and terrible and I can't get through it, I would be like, okay, fair
yeah.
point. but sometimes it works for you, right? I mean, some people
yeah.
are pretentious and you're just like, oh, go away. Yes,
right.
He's pretentious. He knows he's pretentious. He knows he's full of it. And I don't know, it somehow makes it okay. I mean,
yeah.
And the songs are just so good.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I noticed when I was listening to it was there's that, right after The Sea Refuses No River, there's that little song called Prelude.
Yep.
And it's just so gorgeous. And it's about a minute and a half or so, right?
Yeah.
And they tried to, he tried to do, when you hear it, I was thinking like, you know, he kind of tried to do that. There's like these little songs that they have on It's Hard, he tries to get Roger to sing, and they just kind of fall flat, you know?
Yep.
But that song, there's just a majesticness to it, and it goes right into Face Dances, and like just the way that album flows, it's not a concept album, but it certainly has a narrative to it, right? Because it's clearly
yeah.
about aging. It's mm-hmm. clearly about coming to terms with what he's going to have to face going forward. And Slit Skirts may be the best song ever written about aging.
Yeah.
Ever. And I don't know why I like that song. Is just like, oh my God, that's I can like if yeah. there's times when I get on it, you know, I'll just play that song like 10 times in a row because
yeah.
it's so good.
It has that quality to it for sure. And there's something about that song too. I mean, yes, lyrically it's great, but just musically it has a feeling that's like really, you're a musician. It's kind of hard to even describe. There's some quality to that song that I don't know that you could even quite dissect it exactly. You know what I mean? It just feels so right. The way it's performed on that record. And the chorus, especially the way it sort of just kind of kicks in. It's so great. I love it. I love it. And, great, great album closing track too. Right.
Yeah.
It's got that classic Townsend dynamics where it like, it's just like swells up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people do it and it's like, okay, yeah, we get it. But there's a swelling.
Yes.
When Townsend does it, there's a swelling and you're just like, you feel like you're on this
yes.
wave and it's cause it, go ahead, Jim. Sorry.
That's exactly what I mean. There's like a feeling to it that if you tried to recreate it, I think it might come off kind of cheesy or whatever, like
right,
you're saying,
right.
you know what I mean? But it's just so perfect in this song.
She has
And interestingly, there, right there in the middle of side two, is this strange cover of North Country Girl, right? A Bob Dylan song. And it always kind of puzzled me. What do you think of that, Mike?
I have no idea, but you know, I knew that I didn't know Dylan really before that, and I didn't know that was I didn't know it was a Dylan song until later, you know. But I was like, it was a great song. You could tell he loves the song, right? I mean, it's done with absolute love, right? I mean, and he was a big Dylan fan as well, right?
And totally rearranges it in kind of a different way to fit the mood of the album. It's a really, really interesting kind of choice, you know, from a guy who, a band who always played a lot of covers, but they were more of like the real classic nugget variety. But I guess in a folk rock kind of way, this is the same, you know, kind of class, which is cool. And it may have been, like you said, pulled together, Mike, from a time of intense activity and one foot in the Who, one foot touring and one foot recording his own stuff. But whatever it was, he made the right choices. And I think you and I have probably, you know, listened to this album tons and tons of times, but it really does reward that. I just happened to be a bored teenager, you know, trying to be in love probably at the time I got this album and had nothing better to do than play it over and over and over again. So, it's one of my favorites, and I kind of like the fact that it sort of throws up this wall of pretentiousness and obscurity and impenetrableness, but I don't know, I think it's really gorgeous.
I will say, just to speak briefly about It's Hard, you can tell that The Who is clearly out of energy. There's some good moments on the album. I think Imminence Front is a song that I didn't really like when it came out, and I like it a lot more now. Mm-hmm. But there are, and on Face Dances as well, there's moments when you can really hear him trying, and it's like, and you're like, oh my God, they're almost there. And they just, it never quite gets there. Like, like the song "I've Known No War," it's got some really nice bits in it, but it doesn't have that. Just like it doesn't take you on that gigantic wave. Say like what we were talking about with Slit Skirts, right? Where you just feel like you're on this wave and you're just like, oh, this is fantastic, and you're just, I don't know.
I think you said it right about It's Hard, Mike, and I think I don't know if I felt that way so much at the time because I probably wanted The Who to keep playing so I could see him a lot, but you know, I think that it, you know, is pretty clear looking back on it and with perfect hindsight, of course, but this would have been the time to dissolve The Who and Townsend work in this style, you know, of All the Best Cowboys and Empty Glass and, you know, take his solo career into, you know, for, I don't know, I mean, you struggle to find like a really good example of a guy who was pretty famous with a band and then went on to have a solo career. There are examples, but, you know, like Ray Davies always kind of kept the Kinks going and the Stones just kept going forever and ever too. But, you know, Townsend was the exclusive songwriter. I mean, if anybody out there is into those Scoop albums with all the demos and little bits and pieces, those are amazing. I mean, it's just like an audio notebook of how all the Who stuff got done, and he always made those demos with drums and bass and all the parts, and then the Who just went in and put their magic on it, you know. They Keith Mooned and Entwistled it up and Daltreyed it up, and you know, I just feel like this would have been the time, and I think in some ways we're, you know, I mean, who can begrudge anybody for taking your band out on the road and staying in a certain financial comfort level that you've been used to your whole life.
He's all but said the reason he keeps touring is because just that's how he makes money.
Yeah.
He likes to sell, and it's like, sailboats are expensive and I need money. And you want to buy a song? You want to use it in your commercial? I'm good.
Yeah. He's done well because he has the publishing. It's Roger.
That's right.
It's Roger who always needed the money, I think. And he could only get it from touring, and then John to some extent as well.
Yeah. Totally.
But I'll say two quick things about It's Hard and All the Best Cowboys. So first off, on It's Hard, I'll tell you, you know, there was, I think the first single, or maybe I can't remember the order, if it was the first or second single, but that song Athena, go back and listen to that sometime. Try to listen to it with fresh ears. It's like a little mini rock opera in itself. Yeah, it's cool. Really way more complex and interesting, I think, than people gave it credit for at the time. The way it has the you know, the those like horn parts, and then it does that weird thing with the, you know, with the drum sort of going, and Roger getting all kind of crazy. There's like this little sort of dialogue happening, or inner monologue or something that's coming out, right? And then he sings, he comes in and sings. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a girl, just a girl. It's like, it's actually a pretty, it's a pretty well-crafted song. Like, it's really way more complex, I think, than people gave it credit for at the time.
Yeah, that's one of those moments I was talking about where you can kind of feel I'm almost getting there, right?
Mm-hmm. But you're right. It's an uneven record overall. Although I did, you know, buy it and have it on vinyl, and I remember the, you know, what was it, the Asteroids game or some space arcade game on the front.
On the front.
It like, it was like, oh, hey, they're into video games too. Wow, this is exciting. but anyway, what was I going to say here? But this was like, right. I mean, this was for me when I was kind of like you were saying, Patrick, I was really getting into the Who, and I'm sort of going backwards, right? I'm discovering them from these two later period albums, and then, you know, working my way back and discovering all the classic stuff from there. So so it must have still held up or felt vital at the time for, you know, me at whatever age, 13, 14 years old, to, you know, latch onto it. I wanted to say one more thing. Speaking of sort of trying to feel vital at the time, on All the Best Cowboys of Chinese Eyes, you guys didn't talk about, you mentioned sort of the packaging, but like the cover itself, the cover art, Pete's taking on a very sort of new wave kind of look. I mean, we mentioned sort of the punk influence, but here he's got that sort of new wavy sort of short haircut. He's got the flying V guitar upside down, right? He's probably wearing, I don't know what is that, that jacket that he's got on, but it's
didn't they call it the new romantic style back then? I think that's what they called it. I remember it being called.
And you know, the song Uniforms, obviously, on there, you know, addresses kind of that sort of sense, at least to my ears, of new wave. You know, was it more fashion or was it more music?
Right.
And you know, he had that kind of icy look on the front with the with the V-neck guitar, which is kind of cool too.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it's funny because I would never think of this as a new wave record, but I still think you're seeing at least Pete trying to kind of explore some different things in some of these songs and trying to, again, sort of figure out, like, where does he fit in to all of this, right, that's going on, and how to, like, not just, you know, get passed by. And then on the pretension factor, it doesn't help, I'll say, that he opens the album with Stop Hurting People, which is like spoken word.
Yeah. Right?
I like that song quite a bit. But if that's like, if you drop the needle and that's the first thing you hear, I'm not sure you're going to have the, you know, that's the first like Pete Townsend song you hear. I'm not sure you're going to have the greatest impression of what he could really do. Right. Be like,
not exactly the scream at the end of Won't Get Fooled Again.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
exactly.
No, it's definitely a litmus test if you want to keep going for the rest of the record.
Right, so, all right. So there we go. Any other thoughts, guys?
Just to close, the reason I brought this is I thought this was an era that gets really, these two albums, I think, kind of gotten lost over time.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is one of the greatest, he may be the greatest, or I should say my favorite writer of the rock and roll era. I mean, just another favorite, there's lots of favorites, but just his skill and the variety of songs that he wrote. I mean, the same guy who wrote So Sad About Us, the quiet guitar version, and then wrote Won't Get Fooled Again and Bob O'Reilly and Slit Skirts and just on and on and on, and how different those all those songs sound, you know what I mean? And just he had such a wide palette, right? I mean, the Stones are the Stones, right? That open G and Keith does a riff and it's awesome and you love it, but and it's great and it can't be and there's only one of them, but Townsend could just go so many places. And I think for listeners who want to go back and listen to these, they're worth a listen if it's your thing. So
totally. And I'll just add too, that to me makes it kind of, you know, a little more bittersweet that he didn't do more, you know, with his solo career and kind of this, what I consider the foundation of what, or what could have been a launching pad. So.
Great topic. Love it.
I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. I really enjoyed preparing for it, and I think I listened to these albums like I was a teenager all over again,
I don't think you're going to be alone in that. So
I hope, like I said, you know, it's like, I know we have a lot of Who fans. I don't know how many are, know about this era and these songs, and, I think they're rewarding and, you know.
Totally agree. Yeah. And I think for a lot of bands where a member will do, essentially this is a side project. He didn't break away from the band, so he's essentially doing this on the side. And I think a lot of times when that happens, if you're a fan of that band, you sort of go along and it feels like this kind of artifact, you know, that exists, right? But in this case, those two albums would totally stand up if The Who never existed, right? If this was like Pete Townsend.
Yes.
He came up as a solo artist and he put out these two records, they would completely hold up, right? All right. If anyone would like to be a patron like Mike, go to patreon.com/suburbspod. Info there. Also, if anyone would like to just comment on the Pete Townsend solo albums in particular, and if you want also, you know, the late period Who albums, you can call and leave a message, and then we can revisit this topic. The number is 612-440-1984. There you go. Or you can email us rock@suburbspod.com, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, all of those at suburbspod. All right. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us has been
Mike Wagner.
We'll talk to you all later.
The most important song on that album is Cachet Cachet, because he tells us some very important information on there. Right, Jim? There are no bears in there.
That's right.
There are no bears in there.
That's right. Well, yes. Makes me feel better.